Gotta have a little applause. It's Thursday, right? Thursday, June 9th. Is that right? 2022. We are live. Thank you for joining us here on Rucksack Radio, the podcast for Patriots, hosted by two veterans with one mission and 1,776 reasons. The podcast that is always bold, blunt, uncensored, and full of red, white, and blue truth. Evening, Phil.
Evening, Tom. How's it going?
Cheerio.
G'day, mate.
It's going well, I think. It's going well. We got a full show tonight of we're going to talk Article 5 quite a bit, and I'll get into that shortly. But let me just run through some quick stuff real quick. Of course, tonight's I'm glad that we've got people watching us, because the alternative is that stupid January 6th parody, whatever, the Dems brought in the former CEO from ABC that'll put together these January 6th hearings they're doing tonight in primetime just to make a big show of it. The election, the Democrat election takeover has started. It starts tonight, really, with this January 6th cartoon that they're doing in primetime. And then the riots will come following the Supreme Court decisions in the next couple of weeks. And then we'll have a freak outbreak of monkeypox, compliments of the alphabet people. So it's gonna be it's just common. This is the order they're gonna do things in, and try to because they've got no their policies are all crashing, right? Nothing they're doing was working. That's why every aspect of our economy is horrible for everybody. People, you get others, says the economy's in great shape. For who? If you're a millionaire and you know, or better. Yeah, sure, maybe. It's not good for anybody else.
I don't care about gas prices. I have an electric car.
Yeah, I can't believe. Did you see that woman in front of the Congress that said that? Did you see that? Yeah,
I did see that.
Oh my God! I was wondering if that was just coincidence. You said she's all smug like, you know, about
yeah.
It. It's like, oh, they. Like, sorry, the average income of people in her district is $2,000 less a year than one of those cars costs. You know, that just show you how out of touch that she is.
Did Shapiro rip her apart? It was hilarious to watch. Just,
they're so ignorant. But every day, one of them says something more and more dumb. Like, that was the day before yesterday. Yesterday, Joy Behar came out and said that gun laws will finally, once black people have guns, the gun laws will finally change.
Oh!
She said that! She actually, that's a real thing. She actually said
that.
There's
is that the problem in America? It's gun inequality.
First off, I don't even think on the application for to get a firearm it says anything about race. But second of all, yeah, I mean, come on. Come on. There's video of her saying it. I think I posted it. I was just, I'm like jaw dropped. I'm like, I think, does it say, does it have race on the form, Brian? I don't know, whatever. But either way, it's just one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. And now today, what's deafening is, you know, their silence, because Biden, Pelosi, Schumer, none of them have said anything about the threat to Kavanaugh. And after his life was threatened yesterday, you know, an attempted assassination, basically, they still let people protest outside in front of his home. That's insane. It's against the law. And the fact that they're not saying anything, these high up in the Democratic Party, well, they stoked it, you know.
That is interesting.
Schumer saying, you know, that Kavanaugh and Gorsuch will pay the price. What price are they going to pay? They're you know, I've heard this from several people, and it's a very good point. It's true, but they're appointed for a lifetime. You're not. It's not like you're going to elect them out or vote them out. So what do you mean, like, they're going to pay the price? Exactly. What price are they going to pay, Chuck?
We're going to badmouth you.
Well, and remember, it was just a month ago or so that Lori Lightfoot said she went after the Supreme Court and said it's time to, it's a call for arms now, I think she said. Remember that too?
Yes, so I covered that.
All this rhetoric, whether they meant it in a hyperbolic, you know, stupid sort of way, but people take it serious because there's people out there, especially their voters, that don't know how to think for themselves. They take this stuff in like it's a message to them, like it's gospel. It's so frustrating. I mean, I'm surprised we haven't seen something like that happen in our country since Reagan, really, an attempt like that. But, well, no, I shouldn't say that. Scalise was the most recent one. But we haven't seen any attempt like that in a while. And with as heated as things are, it doesn't surprise me. But it's pretty disgusting. And Pelosi's still sitting on the bill that the Senate put through immediately to protect justices and their families. Pelosi's sitting on it now. Of course they have protection to an extent, but not their families to a further extent. It's just ridiculous. And Pelosi's sitting on it. Pelosi is such a gross, filthy, bottom-feeding scumbag bitch of a human being. She's out of touch. She's ignorant. She's a drunk goblin. Speaking of that, her husband got off. All charges dropped.
What? No.
Yeah. No surprise there, really, but I can't understand how people that vote Democrat can't see all of the duplicity in these people and how they're being taken advantage.
Of course he was. Of course he should have got off, is what they'll say.
Oh, but Trump's son got off for this or that or something. They just go right to some but Trump thing or whatever. The cop was hired under Trump. Or something stupid. They just can't. They can't have an argument without bringing up Trump or insurrection. That's their counter to every argument.
Yeah, a year and a half in.
Why shouldn't we be drilling more? Why shouldn't we be refining more oil here? Well, because Trump it's produced less oil or something. They get these really insane, twisted arguments.
It's interesting that the insurrection is still making the news, but the Afghanistan debacle is not.
The record high inflation and record high gas prices every single day.
Right, yeah, don't be concerned with your own wallet. Look at what happened a year and a half ago.
Yeah, well, that's why that's all they have. They don't have anything else. They're failing, and a lot of their failure is on purpose. This administration has been so irresponsible in everything they do. Yesterday, Iran launched a drone at our consulate in Erbil, Iraq. If that had happened under Trump, somebody would have been vaporized by now today. It's ridiculous. But so we know that we're not going to get Congress to get, even if Congress gets to a point where they could function in a way to present amendments, they're not going to put amendments in place that we need, that we the people need, term limits being one of the very biggest ones, right? So we're going to talk Convention of the States tonight. I'm going to do an update because I haven't done that in a while. If you remember, under Article 5 of the Constitution, up here, and I will read that for you. Article 5, the Congress, whenever 2/3 of both houses shall deem it necessary, shall propose amendments to this Constitution or on the application of the legislatures of 2/3 of several states shall call a convention for proposing amendments. And yeah, it goes on. So you need 2/3 of the states to call for a convention of the states. That's 34 states out of 50. You need 3/4 to pass an amendment. That's 38. but we're going to still get to start with getting to a convention. And it's really not, we're at 31 right now. 31 solid red legislatures. So the first thing is tonight, if you need to research your state and see if your state has put forth an application for a convention of the states. Have they put legislation forward for that? If they haven't, your number one job is to get on the phone or write letters to your representatives, your state legislatures, your state senators, and state assembly people about putting forth legislation for a convention of the states. And if they're not willing to do that, then they need to be people you look to primary out going forward. So that's what everybody needs to do. But so we need three more states to be able to call a convention of the states. And I'm going to go through, let's see, I've got one, two, three, four states tonight. So, you know, out of these four states, we need three of them to get to a point we have a convention of the states. And I put this forward. When I did the research, I looked at the states that had the closest disparity in Republicans versus Democrats, meaning the ones that needed the least amount of seats to flip. So those are the ones we're going to talk tonight. Brian, as far as where's the information, I will, I'll have to, I don't have the website right in front of me. There's a few websites, though, that have them. Center for Politics, I think, is one site that has them. There was, I don't have it up in front of me right now. But you can easily Google Convention of the States list or something to that effect, and you'll get it. And I can get it on my website. I'll probably follow this podcast up with an article in the next week with some of the same information. And in that case, I'll hyperlink. So let's start. First, Virginia does not have any of their state legislature seats up in this election cycle in 2022. They do in 2024, but Virginia is close. They've already got control of their state house. They have 52 of 100 seats there. So it's important that you're in Virginia, you keep those seats and don't lose any of those seats. In your Senate, state Senate, they have 19 of 40. So they need two to flip. If they have two, that takes them to 21. They have a majority. So, and they've got three people that are close. District 10, which is west of Richmond, the Democrat only had 54% of the vote. District 13, which is around Leesburg, only had 54% of the vote. District 6, which is the Delmarva Peninsula, had about 59% of the vote, the Democrat way, 2 years ago. So those are districts that can easily flip, and you really only need two of the three. Those are the most likely areas to look in Virginia. Again, they don't have any up this election cycle, but going forward, that's where people in Virginia need to be looking, and any other seats, because every seat, you know, can be vulnerable, but those are most important. Now, Minnesota has the state Senate. It's GOP. They've got 34 to 67 seats. So they have a majority right now by one seat. 34-33. So it would be good to pick up more, but their Senate already is red. In their state house, they have 64 of 134. They need three seats to flip there. And there are plenty of opportunities in Minnesota. District 6A, the Democrat had 50% of the vote. District 38B, the Democrats had 50% of the vote. District 33B, 50% of the vote. District 39B, 50% of the vote. District 56A, 51% of the vote. 36A, 51% of the vote. 11A, 51% of the vote. 3A, 52% of the vote. 4B, 52% of the vote. 20B, 52% of the vote. And 56B, 52% of the vote. So Minnesota, you only need to flip three of those. And those are all right. Basically, it's a split. And this was during the last election, before things were horrible now. So you should be able to flip three of those, if not all of those seats. And they range from northwest of Duluth to the Lake Minnetonka area, Duluth, again, north of Duluth, west of Duluth, east or northeast of Mankato, south of Bloomington. Well, there's areas, rural Minnesota, just outside of the cities, especially that area outside of Duluth. There's three of these districts that are outside of Duluth that are all at 50, 51, and 52% went to Democrats last election cycle. So you can do it, Minnesota. You flip those seats, you've got a red legislature. You do not need a red governor. The amendment clearly states, put forth by the legislatures. The governor cannot stop this. If you have a red legislature and a Democrat governor, the Democrat governor cannot stop it. They are powerless to. And Congress can't stop it either. Once it's called by two-thirds of the state legislatures, it's called. So you're not in Minnesota. You're close. Minnesota would make 32. Virginia would make 33. And the other two I'm going to go over here, the first one is Colorado. Colorado, the GOP currently has 15 of 35 seats. So they need three to flip. The one thing to consider is Colorado is, there's a lot of independent candidates in Colorado. So there's a lot of seats in Colorado where the Democrat won, not even with 50% of the vote. Got an example of one in here like that, where the Democrat had 30-some percent of the vote, 34% of the vote, and they won because the Republican had like 31%, and then there was an independent that got 12% or whatever it was. So that hurts us in a way. But Colorado can flip a bunch of these. So they need three to flip. There's four Senate districts I'm going to give you in Colorado that are close. District 24, north of Denver, 52% of the vote. District 20, west of Denver, 54% of the vote. District 16, which is also west of Denver, is 55% of the vote. District 22, southwest of Denver, 58% of the vote. So those four districts have state Senate seats that are going to be up for re-election in Denver or in Colorado this election cycle. Take all four of them will be great. You need to take three, and you have a red Senate. Colorado House, they've got 24 of 65 seats.
Tom, your mic went out. I don't know if the listeners can hear you. I can't hear you, no. The listeners can't hear you either. Are you muted? It looks like your mic is muted. There it goes. No, still can't hear you. I hope you're not texting me because my phone's charging. Oh, okay. He's going to reboot. Just when it was getting interesting, too. Although I did notice that a lot of the seats are right outside of the major cities, which is, I thought it was interesting when he was talking about Minnesota. Minnesota's a lot like Wisconsin in that, and actually Illinois, where pretty much
this the whole fucking shit. Shit. This shit.
Fuck it. I was just saying it's interesting that Minnesota is a lot like Wisconsin and Illinois, and that the state is Democrat, but only because of a few select areas in the state.
Yeah. Where was I? Colorado Senate. Okay, so we talked about those. You need to flip three of those four. So their House, they need nine to flip. They're 24 to 65. But again, here, a lot of areas around Denver, Westminster, Lakewood, Colorado Springs. I'm just going to give you the district numbers and the last percentage of vote. These seats are all up for re-election here in 2022. District 27, 48%. District 25, 52%. District 46, 53%. District 37, 55%. District 59, 55%. District 38, 55%. District 17, 30, 29, and 34, all 56%. District 28, 57%. District 18, 59%. These are all seats that can be flipped. And worse, there's districts 3, 7, 8, and 31. Well, the Democrat ran unopposed last time. There should not be any race where a Democrat is running unopposed in any state for a state seat. That's hugely important. So get on this, Colorado. You've got seats you can flip. You got seats that are sitting there unchallenged. Get in there. But Colorado's close. And finally, Maine is another one that we can, believe it or not, that is not all that out of reach. Their House, their Senate, rather, start with their Senate again. They've got 13 to 21 seats. They need 5 to flip. I'm going to give you a handful more than that here, almost twice as many, but District 31, 51%, District 88, 52%, District 20, 53%, District 31, 54%, District 11, 54%, District 9, 55%, District 23, 55%. And here again, districts 27 and 28 were Democrats that ran unopposed. So need 5. It was half of what I mentioned. And again, these are all, split districts, 52, 51, 54%. Those are seats, especially right now with Democrat policies failing as much as they are, that can easily swing the other way. They've got 64 of 151 House seats. They need 9 to flip, but there are 4 vacant. So really, if they can fill those 4 vacant seats, they only have to flip 5 out of these others. And I'm going to give you a bunch here again. District 120, 35%. That's one where they had like the Green Party's big in Maine. There's the Green Party's all over Maine. So in this state, it wasn't necessarily an independent, but it was a Green Party candidate that took a lot of the vote too away from. So that Richard Evans in District 120 won the seat with 35% of the vote. That's north of Bangor. District 96. Sorry, go ahead.
That's up there.
Yeah. District 96, 50% of the vote. District 53, 51% of the vote. District 66, 51% of the vote. District 46 and 126, 53% of the vote. District 84, 53% of the vote. District 98, 54% of the vote. District 132, 55%. District 13, 55%. District 55, 55%. District 93, 55%. District 89, 54%. And unopposed. Unopposed in Maine. These are Democrat seats unopposed. These districts.
The reason I think why Maine is the way it is because of logging. Mm-hmm. You have people that see the logging as a necessary, source of income for the state, and you have the Green Party and Democrats who are supposedly environmentally friendly.
Yeah, but then you would think people wouldn't be voting for them. You would think if the logging.
But what I'm saying is the people are either for the logging or against the logging in the state.
Yeah.
So it just or people just don't run. Obviously, that's why there's
they're going to be thinking a lot more, about a lot more than logging this election cycle.
I'm saying historically, that's probably why Maine is the way it is. Either that or it's the same thing as what's happened with Vermont and what's attempting to be happening here in New Hampshire is that the place gets invaded by Massachusetts people and they try to change the state to the way that they are used to.
So continue on here real quick. There's in Maine, these following districts ran unopposed. They weren't even challenged with a Republican candidate. Districts 1, 11, 24, 28, 31, 33, 34, 35, 36, 38, 39, 40, 41, 43, 44, 61, 92, 94, and 125. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 districts in Maine ran unopposed. That's unacceptable. So these are all open, and even with those unopposed districts, the GOP still only needs to flip 5 of the all the others I mentioned if they can claim the vacant seats right now as well. Otherwise, it's 9 of those seats that I mentioned. And there's a ton of them that are at 51, 52, 53%. So these are places that, folks, they get us over that 34. The 4 states I mentioned today give us some padding. They get to 35. You need 38 to get an amendment passed anyways with a convention. Just getting to the convention isn't enough. It's a big start. We got to get there. Again, put the cart before the horse. We got to get to the convention first, but it's within reach. We're just 3 states away from it. And these 4 states I mentioned are all very attainable. Minnesota and Virginia being the easiest. But these others, Colorado, Maine, there's absolutely no reason they can't flip these seats, especially all these districts that are unopposed. I mean, that's just insane. So that is, you know, that's a brief update in terms of where we stand with regards to a roadmap. So now it's the people in these states need to own their districts, but you don't have to live in that district to be supporting and doing something for the candidates running in that district. You could be anywhere in the country and field calls, or you just need to get in touch with their campaigns if you want to do that. You can highlight, you know, you can see who's running for a state house seat in Colorado for a Republican, and you could share their tweets or their posts or whatever else with more people. Get their name out there. There's campaign contributions you can make to, you know, certain limits to candidates if you feel so inclined to help a candidate in another state. So there's things you can do. First off, call your state legislators and make sure that your state is working on legislation to call for a convention of the states. And outside of that, these are the states we need to focus on. We don't need to put all our energy on the Pelosi's of the world or the Schumer's of the world or the Adam Schiff's of the world. We need to put our weight on, you know, people like Faith Winter in North Denver, District 24, who's only got 52% of her vote the last time around.
Sounds like a stripper name.
It does, doesn't it? But seriously, I mean, these can be done, you know, it can absolutely be done. Richard Evans in District 120, Dick Evans in District 120, north of Bangor, only won that district with 35% of the vote. You got to be able to get a Republican that can get more of the vote than that. So those are the people we need to be hitting. We need to be going after and finding people to stronger people to run against them.
In that election where he won with 35% of the vote, Dick, there was there a Republican running, or was it just him against the Green Party?
No, there was a Republican running, and I will find out. What was it? That was a Maine House GOP District 120. Okay, give me a second. I will tell you exactly what it was. Dick Evans, there he is.
Good old Dick.
Come on, Dick. Where's your paper?
Gotta love Dick.
Yes. He got 35% of the vote. Chad Perkins, who was the Republican, got 33% of the vote. And Norman Higgins, who was the independent, got 30% of the vote. So between the independent and the Republican, you had almost 67% of the vote.
People that did not want Dick.
Or Chad, apparently. But, you know, in that particular election. Now, it's coming down to Dick and Chad this this election too. Those are the two that won their primaries and are going head to head. So if you don't want Dick, please go with Chad.
If you don't like Dick, vote Chad.
Yes. As you give the votes to Norman and then we lose the seat. So, or you got to give more votes to the independent than the Democrat, because in many cases, the independents are leaning with the conservatives this cycle around anyways. That can always switch and change. But, yeah, there you go. So there is a roadmap. Things that can be done, where we're at, what we need to focus on. And then we can call an Article 5. And then we start talking about what we need to do from there to amend the Constitution in a way that not only puts power back in the hands of the people, something like, you know, term limits, but something that also safeguards our rights so they can't be chipped away at any further. Something that repeals the ability to put in place situations like the NSA or unelected bureaucrats like Fauci or Sullivan being able to have as much power as they have. There's a lot of lessons that we're learning right now in real time that are things we need to think about how they get fixed. Because they have to get fixed, because we can't continue to run a country in such a mismanaged, tyrannical way.
So what is the average age? This would be an interesting question, maybe for Sunday's or Monday's show. The average age of these people that are running now for their state assemblies and that. I almost wonder if we're coming into the age of politicians where they weren't taught anything about the Convention of the States in school or anything like that. I mean, they have to know about them. But if they weren't taught the importance of it.
I'm sure many people.
You know what I mean?
I doubt there's many people in Congress that have a full grasp of it. But you're right.
Yeah, that's
what I don't know. There's no way.
They don't.
There's not.
So, I mean, even if you get the 34, 38 states, even if you get the 34, 38 states, if you have a bunch of state representatives that don't know anything about it or don't know how to, you know, go about
there'll be enough to
begin the process.
There'll be enough that do. You've got plenty of state senators and state representatives that are older in their 50s, 60s, and maybe even 70s. In all of these states. So there definitely are people that know. I think, yeah, there's some younger people coming online, but generally those that are coming online on the side of the right are a little more savvy when it comes to civics. The left can be as ignorant as they want because they can deny the facts all they want. At the end of the day, the facts are what matters. So, I think that, and I think that we're at a place where, like, the Gen Zers they don't like the millennial shit either. So the millennials are going to get squeezed here as Gen Z comes up behind them and doesn't want to put up with their shit either. And so I think it's going to help to knock some of it down. But they're a smart group. And they're more pragmatic. They're innovative in that they're young and they see different ways, but they also have a lot of respect for rights and processes and law and order and just not everything being so ambiguous and noisy and destructive, chaotic, turbulent.
Chaotic is a good way to describe it. Yeah. Very chaotic.
And the way the rhetoric's going, it's not getting tamped down any, right? I don't know. So thanks to those of you that are watching us live. can go to rucksackradio.com and check out more about the show. If you're watching this on YouTube or Rumble, we'll have this show up. I should have it up sometime, hopefully sometime tomorrow or Saturday at the latest. We'll be up there. Tuesday's show with Mom at Arms is up on YouTube and Rumble and Spotify. It was a good show with Jill. She's going to be getting me some information on her online situational awareness classes. When I have that, I'll share that. I think that'd be really good for people to take advantage of if they can. Again, she says she offers those, you know, no fee. Excuse me. So great opportunity. She knows her stuff. But that was fun. That one's up. We'll get this one up. Again, you can go to rucksackradio.com to support the show. And we are grateful so much for that. Now, any questions in the chat? Thanks to you. Those are live. Any questions regarding Convention of the States? Thoughts on it? I mean, I think it's something that we need. It comes with its own risks because you could change something about the Constitution that doesn't do us good in the long run either. So it needs to be very thoughtfully done. But I think we all know, based on history, we've been able to see what's working well and what's not working so well. What do we have all, you know, what are the areas we have the most contention about, and why do we have that contention? Because we don't necessarily want to amend the Constitution to settle an argument, because that's not good. That's just like, then you might, it's like packing the court, right? It's the same concept. You don't want that. You want to have some level of polarization, but we need to control things like term limits for people that are career politicians that have lost touch. We need to, max out the pay and the lifetime benefit stuff can't be like it is. It needs to change, to an extent.
We need to enforce the insider trading, as it were.
Yeah, I mean, the lobbies. There needs to be
laws made about that, but
regulation around the corporate lobbies and political action committees and all that. Yeah,
these politicians should not be going into their careers making $100,000 a year and exiting their careers being worth tens of millions of dollars.
No, you're exactly right.
That's maddening.
It is. Yeah, and those are all things that we need to fix, right? So, yeah, it's a necessity. I think it's really one of the last. It's the second to last remedy we have. I don't even want to get into the last remedy we have because that doesn't end well.
We don't need to.
That doesn't end well for anybody. No. So in Article 5 is this really the second, that's the safety net that the founders gave us at the point where the country was going to crumble. They had foresight to know how the electorate would work, how the system would work with the separation of states. They were very science-minded people, and they were scholars of history. They had the benefit of knowing they didn't deny history, right? They used history to help create this amazing document we have.
No, that didn't happen.
and that's why we've lost it as long as we have. Yeah. But we just have people that don't want to play within the rules because their feelings. It's pretty messed up. So what they need to do is... I'm sorry, go ahead.
I think the founding fathers... And their thoughts on what's going on today as far as firearms and that kind of stuff, I think they would be empathetic, but they would also say, look, it's on you to be a good parent. We shouldn't have to tell you to be a parent to your children, to be there for your children. Yes, we get life is hard. Life is hard for every fucking body. It's not just hard for you. Yeah. Well, be around your children. Be present with
the first. They would be asking why, and they would be wondering where our morals as a society went, because they were very morally grounded people.
Right.
So they'd be pissed off at that. They'd also wonder why it is that we haven't enforced the 3,200 gun laws on the books. You know, why haven't you got these legislation? We gave you the tools to make legislations. You've done it 3,000 times. Then why is this still happening?
I think they would ask why there's 3,200 guns.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Probably start there. But
first so of all, they, what yeah. the fuck is this?
Yeah.
What part of number two here do you not understand?
Yeah, right. Probably wonder why the fuck a car was driving around by itself. They wonder what a car is. What is this?
Well, you know that one horse that you rode in on? This is like 300 of those.
Yeah. Oh, that I said today. I like imagine like you get this fresh ribeye from the butcher, right? It looks delicious. And you're like ready, you're excited to get home and fire up the old Weber, get the coals hot and grill that steak. But then you got the one crazy neighbor yelling over the fence how candles have a smaller carbon footprint. So you take a sledgehammer to your grill. You just bust the fuck out of that Weber. You beat it all up. You break it. And then you sit there and you wonder why you go, shit, I can't cook the steak over these candles. It's not nearly sufficient enough. But you already busted your Weber. That's what Biden's done. That's what he's done by shutting the gas off and thinking everybody's going to buy an electric vehicle here. Now we're sitting here with a raw steak we can't eat.
Feed it to the dog. Now I want a ribeye.
Yeah, right. So do I. It's ridiculous. We need to get more people going to work for people like this woman here. Hold on a second. We did a story like this one once, but this is a different one.
Okay. Are we playing Guess the Headline, Phil? I guess not. So it pretty much speaks for itself.
Boss gives staff daily masturbation break and sex toys as a special work perk.
Thought it was a phone. I swear to God, I was going to go phone sex.
Erica Lust wanted her staff to practice self-care, so she launched daily masturbation breaks, giving her valued employees 30 minutes to themselves.
30 minutes?
Yeah, now she's spiked Jesus. Up the policy a bit more. Women like to get in there and light a candle and get the mood going and some bubbles and maybe put on some Sinatra or something and just make a whole night out of it.
It's a 27-minute nap for Phil.
The boss has been praised for letting her staff take a half an hour masturbation break during their work day. Porn director Erica Lust, who has won awards for her erotic films, launched a new self-love policy last year with the aim of making her staff more relaxed. She's now shared an update saying that after successfully running the policy for a year, she's now offering free sex toys to her workers as a special perk.
Good for her. Yes. I don't think the fellows will get off on that thing too much. Maybe they will. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe they will. She said she allowed workers to take the breaks because she values her employees and credits it to increased productivity and less aggression in the workplace.
Well, I have heard this. There was a stint of time that I was interested in the inner workings of the porn industry. Not that I wanted to be in it or anything like that. But it's not enjoyable. It's not enjoyable for either actor, supposedly.
Could have fooled me.
Well, they're good actors, although they don't seem like it.
She said, she wrote, "Remember, I started to give myself a daily 30-minute masturbation break last May. This year, we've decided to revamp our special work perk with the help of my friends from Fun Factory and their cheeky toys. So if you will join us, go to the link in my bio and learn more. Maybe you'll find a sexy discount for yourself along the way."
It's Erica I'm good. Lust on Thank Instagram. You. Yeah.
She's also released a mini documentary on her YouTube channel where she asked how often people manage to find some time alone. A lot of the responses suggested that the amount will vary depending on stress levels, with some even acknowledging that the recent changes in working environments had impacted their masturbation habits. Okay. On daily average, we're talking 4 times a day, maybe. If I work from home, you know, she laughed. Okay. One woman laughed.
Four times a day? Jesus.
But while many admitted that some time alone helped them to de-stress, one respondent admitted swearing himself off the practice because it was making him unproductive.
Yeah.
Because of him. Yeah. I thought I had a masturbation addiction at some point, so I started masturbating less. And I talked with my friend about it, and we discovered that if I masturbate more, you relax, you work less, and you're not that effective. So at some point, I think I went without masturbation for 2 months.
That's bullshit. I strongly don't believe this fucking guy.
For others, it was a seasonal decision. With one polyamorous woman admitting, there's no pattern. It depends on my mood or my level of stress, how often I see my couple. But I definitely masturbate more often during the summer. As revealing their habits, the documentary's participants also shared some interesting anecdotes about times they had nearly been caught doing the deed. One woman even revealed that she got away with masturbating on a bus trip with a blanket covering her lap.
She wasn't like Meg Ryan when Harry Met Sally or whatever.
I think I've probably seen the masturbating bus woman. So there you go. You go work for Erica Lust, and you get paid to
take a nap in Phil's case.
Yeah. Summer? I don't think the season matters, really.
I don't think I've ever gone 2 months without jerking off. I think that's bullshit. I'm calling Bravo Sierra.
You know, I don't know. Maybe he's... I don't know.
My personal records.
So I don't know. I don't know if that's possible, but
my personal record's like 7 hours. 2 months. Fuck off.
You're a degenerate.
Well, Siri, okay, so from the woman's perspective, right? Say you just spent the morning taking a fucking fire extinguisher in all three places. The last thing you want to do is take a half an hour and go jerk off, right? Ladies, I don't know. Is that how it works?
No,
I can't imagine.
Not for women. Women can do this. Women can do this over and over again. They got magic spots that I don't know. Women can do this over and over again. I don't think there's going to be a woman. They're probably not going to say in the chat. But I bet you. But I bet you every one of them would say four is not an unreasonable amount in a day. Maybe. Maybe not. I don't know. But according to this article, that's what the woman in this article said.
Jenny says, no, four is low. Those are rookie numbers. You got to get those up.
At four, you're a free agent. Get out.
Four. Let's talk about second breakfast.
Didn't even get to lunch yet. Oh. This next guy probably should have gotten the job working for that woman, Erica Lust.
Oh. Somebody gets caught jerking off. Oh. Just look at my big cock. Look at it.
Man kills 15 chickens after breaking into barn and having sex with them.
See, if you got a jerk off break, that wouldn't have happened.
Supermarket worker who broke into a barn to have sex with chickens has been
jailed for more than
2 years. He works in, like, he's a butcher.
Chickens don't like anal. No? No, well, the one I fucked didn't.
Shane Waters' disgusting abuse was revealed after a farmer in Accrington discovered it.
Tell me you heard that, Jenny, on Opie and Anthony. Yeah. It was a radio show that I used to listen to that they had the audio of a German bestiality film where a guy was fucking a chicken. And it's all in German. And you can just, the chicken's like, muck, 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 muck. And then you can tell when it goes in. Based on the chicken's noise.
Okay, moving on with the story. This disgusting abuse was revealed after a farmer in Accrington discovered a number of dead and injured animals on September 19th. Fearing something sexual was behind them. Yeah,
it sure was. You don't just go from these animals are dead and injured to somebody's got to be fucking them. There had to be clues.
If I could continue the story.
Just the way it's written raises questions.
Fearing something sexual was happening behind them, he trawled through CCTV footage and called the RSPCA after seeing waters creeping out of the enclosures shortly before midnight. Following his arrest days later, Waters told police, "I need help. I know what I've done. I just get these urges
to fuck chickens."
Yeah. He also admitted to having sex with his own Great Dane and was jailed for 30 months at a Burnley court.
These poor animals don't know what the fuck is happening to them.
During his police interview, he confessed to visiting the farm around 9 times, but usually only had sex with one chicken.
Favorite. He's like the big black cock.
It was the one playing dead. It was the only one playing dead when he walked in.
This one's most like my wife.
And all 15 birds died as a result of his sordid sexual activity.
How do you own chickens, find a bunch of them dead, and then go, somebody's got to be fucking these birds. let me check the fucking camera.
I don't know how he found out, but Prosecutor Barbara Webster added,
he's creep buying the chickens. He found him with nut dripping out of him.
The prosecutor added he did not like performing the act and said sorry to the chickens after. Oh, sorry I done rubbed up on you.
Oh, sorry I fucked you. Sorry I ruined your Black Panther party.
Chicken gump. It's got chicken gump.
Chicken pop.
Chicken gump. I gotta put that down. That might be the name of the show.
Oh. I need help. I can't stop fucking. Well, he's going to get fucked a lot in prison.
Waters then further admitted to having sex with his pet dog, telling officers the animal did not like it and growled and bit me. Do you think?
I'm sure there's probably a lot less dangerous dogs to try to fuck. I wouldn't know because I'm not a dog fucker.
Get like one of those little golden doodles or something. I don't know. What a Great Dane. You start out with the Shaquille O'Neal of dogs.
That's fucking ballsy.
You don't expect it to be pissed.
Why not just try to fuck a wolf? Jesus. I'm sure the chickens were much more submissive.
The court also heard that the pervert has previous convictions for having relations with horses in 1997
Good
and 2016.
God. This fucking guy just can't fuck a woman, can he?
How do you not get kicked by the horse?
Pretty much anything but a woman, and he's okay with it. What do you think that stems from? Those are the things that I wonder about.
I don't even want to think about that in depth. I don't think about it at all. Not even a little bit. When the story's done, I'm not going to think about it anymore.
I'm probably not either after I jerk off to it.
Judge. You want me to send you the picture? Judge Sarah Dodd told him, "Those who kept chickens, the chickens are understandably horrified and appalled by what you have done." Because the chickens are real happy about it. What about the chickens themselves?
You're a fucking animal rapist.
The owners of the chickens are horrified. I'm pretty sure the chickens aren't real, aren't living without fear either.
Yeah, I'm sure they could use some therapy.
There's like a Vietnam chicken in the corner with PTSD. Having flashbacks to Shane slapping him in the beak with his hog.
just smacking him with his dick.
I love you, chicken. I'm sorry.
You know, he apologized with the post nut clarity. He's just like, oh, I'm sorry. Chuck, I'm sorry I fucked you to death.
So ice cream in heaven. Simple Jack. Your conduct is distressing and truly worrying, particularly in light of your previous convictions. That's what the judge said. It's more than distressing and worrying. He's been subject to a registration, indefinite criminal behavior, they call it in Britain. And
he's in Britain.
And banned from keeping any animals in the future.
That's even better.
Well, he didn't really have. He went to somebody else's animals here.
Yeah, he with a British accent. You think he was trying to sweet talk the chickens?
Brought you some tea.
Or the horses. Or the Great Danes.
Brought you some tea. There's a little crumpet for you to peck at.
Brings in a crumpet and feeds it while he's fucking it.
Chicken's like, do I hear a belt coming out of belt loops? What's going on? What are you doing with
this? This crumpet's tasty. Wait. That's not an egg. Had to be Europe. I'm surprised it wasn't someplace down south. No offense to us other listeners, but I'm just saying.
It's southern England. I don't know. Hey. Thanks for tuning in tonight. That's it. You got Convention of the States and Chicken
Fucker. Cheeky Fucker.
That's two very contrasting ends of the show.
Yes. Got the uncircumcised dick going into a chicken.
I don't know that he's I don't care.
He's English. You know he's uncircumcised. They all are in Europe. They all got the snuffleupagus.
The Chinese finger cuff. I got my finger stuck in my pee-pee. That's how he did it. Maybe he wrapped a foreskin around a chicken's head or something. I don't know. How do you
oh my god, chicken? You get the fucking beak right in the pee hole. That would not be enjoyable, I don't think.
I don't know.
I don't think fucking a chicken would be very enjoyable either.
You were really distressed about the beak part right away. That, like, immediately in your mind was like you'd been there before and had a bad experience.
Well, I just don't want anything in my pee hole. Beak or otherwise.
Chickens aren't easy to catch, for one. Right?
Let alone hold it down and fuck it.
Chickens are like Barry Sanders on crack. You know, it's just, they're hard to get.
I know. Rocky and had then to catch them as part of his training.
And then they can get mean, right? So how do you even catch the chicken, let alone rape it?
Well, we don't know that he didn't sweet talk the chicken.
I mean, is he like binding the feet and holding the neck and just getting in there and like it's a jock strap with it, rubbing it? I mean, what are you doing with this thing? I haven't thought this through and I don't want to. It's just,
you're asking questions now, Thomas.
These were somebody else's chickens.
Questions that require answers.
They weren't even his chickens. He did this to somebody else's chickens. It's just, the owner goes out there and it's just a pile of dead chickens with jipe all over them. What is he?
Somebody's bought my chickens.
Somebody's been eating out of my bowl. Faggot Goldie Cox. the dead chickens.
Oh, this. He looks like a chicken fucker the more I look at him.
Yeah, he does. We'll be live again tomorrow night, Friday, 6:10. The Fun Friday Show with Jenny. Right here on Riverside FM. You go to rucksackradio.com to tune in to us, to our channel on Riverside FM. Thank you again for supporting us in all the ways you do, through watching and listening, through sharing the show. Please check us out at rucksackradio.com for my articles, for resources, civic resources, veteran resources. Had to support the show and help me keep the lights on with the studio and continue to keep doing the show. So we appreciate all of your love. Appreciate having you in the chat and your interaction. We look forward to tomorrow. We'll have a good show again tomorrow, I'm sure. Yeah, we'll see you then. So have a wonderful Friday. Have a wonderful Friday. We'll see you Friday night tomorrow. So, friends, there's no substitute for educated and passionate patriots who value our sacred principles of liberty and take action to preserve them. We're honored to share your company. Rock on. We love you, and we will see you tomorrow.
Peace.